Hello and welcome to In Conversation, a DubLab podcast where each week we will bring you interviews from the DubLab radio archives.
Hello, folks. This is GB. I am here with Elizabeth Waldo, the great composer and musician, a big part of the California music history that you may or may not be familiar with. Thank you for agreeing to this conversation, Ms. Waldo.
Well, thank you for being here, and I'm so pleased to share my various approaches to classic ethnic music. You can describe it as that way.
I think for the majority of our listeners here on DubLab who might be familiar with your music, it is probably in the context of some of the records that you put out many years ago. The ones that come to my mind would be Realm of the Incas.
Yes.
And another that comes to mind would be Rite of the Pagan.
Yes.
And I know there are a few other recordings. We'd love it if you could give us a brief history of your musical background.
Well, yes, I was thrilled to have those two records produced by GNP Crescendo Records because it was very unique for them to do something other that was strictly a pop generation already, and I was a little far off from them, but they took the chance, and those two records are still marketable all here, Japan, and England that I know of. As a performer and with an ongoing ensemble, always had for my educational shows, which I loved doing very much because all age groups, including universities, were not familiar with what I was attempting to do, to show the music of the new world that they hadn't heard about or historically thought about. That is always in the Western European tradition of like the symphony world and the Curtis Institute, where I was a scholarship student. That was all Western European. And then in the youth orchestras with the great Stokowski and others, I discovered Latin America, and that became my destination to create what I'm up to today.
So it was through your work with the National Youth Orchestra
yes.
that got you over to Latin America, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes, yes we did.
Yes, I was reading on your website a little bit about some of what you were involved with at that time.
Oh, yes. Well, when I decided to go on my own and be a featured violinist, I started in Panama, and my classic production with William Grant Still, the famous Afro-American. I was not into composition of my own at that time, so I said, let's do something together for string quartet and string and symphony. And it's played all the world. It's called Danzas de Panamá. So then after that, I kept going back on my own and doing it all through Mexico, Latin America, everywhere. And so that's just part of it, of course.
Sure. I also read on your website that it's some encouragement in the direction of combining the pre-Columbian, pre-Hispanic instruments with the Western music you're already well familiar with and performing. Some of that encouragement might have come from Diego Rivera. Can you talk a little
yes,
bit about that?
Oh, yes, because the art and music are so a combination. But when I played for him in his beautiful studio in Mexico City, I played Bach for him, you see. And he said, that's okay, but I want to take you to the marketplace tomorrow morning. And so I was thrilled. He was, 6 feet tall with a big sombrero. There goes Don Diego. But he said, well, what about this music? And what these are the people you'd see. Look at these instruments, how they're created. And so he gave me that inspiration to start with it. And then I have enlarged upon that over the years.
Other music musicians from when you first started putting out music, at least from what I'm aware of, there really aren't too many who were combining the music of the pre-Columbian cultures with modern music, Western music. I can think of maybe a couple, but what comes to mind for me would be the composers who were more associated with what is known as exotica music. I think, for example, Martin Denny and Les Baxter, I think your music is quite different from their
music.
Yes.
See, they wanted to be me to be like them because they were big sellers, but I said, no, to me, it's not authentic. It's very pop oriented, and it is, you know, like I don't like synthesized flutes because I'm so used to the real concert flute or these Aztec flutes of over 1,000 years. To me, they have such a beauty that I feel that's the best.
Sure, and you know, the difference as well for me is that when I hear, you know, guys like, say, Martin Denny, it was very much background music in a way.
But he did start something good, and that was to make people like his records, Hawaiian themes and everything. At least he got people aware that music is coming out of these wonderful areas and it is not known or accepted yet. He did that, and I admired him a lot for that reason.
Were there other composers or musicians prior to, I guess, the exotica wave that you were inspired by?
Well, let me think. There are such composers as Revueltas, you see, but he did it in a symphonic sense, and that's more what I'm in tune with. And I worked with Ginastera in Argentina, and he said, I think you're doing great to try and get this into the symphony world, because not many of it, first place, you have to love the culture in order to do it, and then you have to be interested to make research and explore and see what the curiosity brings to you.
How long has this center here where we are today, how long has it been open?
Well, my late husband named Northridge, and so I started here as a young bride in this area, but I tried to carry and make it into a cultural center because the history is so wonderful here, and it combines many cultures, you see, the Hispanic, the antiques, the antiguidad, and Afro, and I'm very strongly into Chinese, and I've performed there 5 times, been in 5 areas, and that's will be my next recording. It will be about the Chinese in the Gold Rush period. You see, that is a wonderful area in California.
Uh-huh. Great. I really love the integration of the historical aspects of the music that you're referencing or touching on in your work.
Yes, so this Rancho area was, when I moved here, it was very in the boonies, you know, and the guys were coming to trim the walnut trees and the orange and the lemon trees, and I try to keep that here, too, with it, but I do want it open, and I did spend years on the educational circus, introducing this to all age groups, and UCLA came 3 years here to this Rancho because I said, nobody knows the background. How do we get it into the music, a part of our itineraries or our... So that's... And I like to do lecture demos, and I present it. I've had people from all over the world coming here. We have our own little teatro, and you must come soon. And it's a salon combination with our... recording and all of that.
Are you still actively composing these days?
Oh, yes. All the shows that I do here, usually I've been doing it once a month, but now since I'm sharing my theater, which seats about 150 people with other artists, I'm not always my group here each month, but I've had people from all over the world coming here, and that's my honor to have them come here and see the intimacy and enjoy the natural rancho atmosphere of over 7 acres, so they're welcome.
Is there anything else that you'd like for people to know about your music? Maybe anything you have coming up, any recordings that we should be looking for, anything you'd like to share?
Yes, well, I did decide to have my own label because in that way, I don't have to talk to a producer. Well, I can't sponsor this because I don't know how many you're going to sell. So I have to do what I believe in and what I want to create. So now I have the three that I'm showing you, and then I have one called Messages in Clay. It's a very small one, but it's all the ancient instruments, and several others. And I have my opera about La Natividad and all the history of how that was done at the period of the conquest to start it. And I love doing that for voice, quartets, symphony, and including as many ethnic styles and instruments as I can.
Ms. Waldo, thank you so much. You're a big inspiration to me. And we'll definitely keep our listeners posted as to things that you have coming up. And yeah, we look forward to talking again in the future.
Oh, I can hardly wait. Let's do it. Muy pronto, eh?
Muy pronto, let's do it.
In Conversation was produced by Dublab, a nonprofit radio station broadcasting live from Los Angeles since 1999. Sound editing and theme song by Matea Bain. For more programming, visit dublab.com. And thank you for listening.